chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. I didn't see Brother Mike today. Did your daddy have to work today, Josh? Oh, let him know preacher thought about him, okay? By the way, I was thinking, Brother Mark, lest I forget, we are hosting in October. We got all the preachers coming here. We're hosting a Buckeye Fellowship. And maybe we'll get together and we'll set up some special singing for that day. Kids in the school and stuff, maybe our teens that we have here too, with the Brother Andy. And I don't know the date. It's a Tuesday morning. It's in October. We host a whole Baptist fellowship, Buckeye Fellowship. So we're excited about that. Still a few months away, but we ought to be thinking about it. Amen? All right. I want to talk to you tonight about Lot's downfall. By the way, Brother Rod Black and his Deborah, they're out of town. They're preaching, I think, is he in West Virginia? Was he last week in Maine, or he was in New Jersey, or is he going there? Delaware. Yeah, that's coming up. And then I think he's going down that Sword of the Lord this week. And so if you don't see him, they're just on the road. They're booked almost every to keep him, we almost have to book him, here to have him here with us. Amen. But all righty. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 6-8. Man, I'm glad you came back. Good crowd for a Sunday night. Boy, it thrilled me to see those young people sing for Jesus. Amen. You kids keep singing for the Lord. I love young people serving the Lord. I'll tell you, it just thrills my heart to see people, especially the younger generation, serve God. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to talk to you about Lot's downfalls. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. God said, okay, San Francisco, you know what I did to Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm giving you an example. And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Look at verse 8. For that righteous man, Lot was a saved man. Lot was a born-again saved man. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to thank you for my church and thank you for their faithfulness. And I pray that you'll bless them for coming out to hear the Word of God. Pray you'll be with Brother Mike Sells, Lord. I hope, Lord, help him to feel better. And I think of all the other folks that are not doing well today. And I just pray you'll bless each one of them. And give us a great night now tonight in the Word. Help us to get something from this. Help us to remember and to go forward for the cause of Christ. And we'll just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I want us to look at Lot's life and see what we can glean from that. I want us to look upon some of his failures and downfalls. You know, we need to study people in the Bible because we can learn from the Bible. We can learn from people's lives. And tonight I want to take a good look at a hard look at Lot's life and learn from what he did so we don't do it ourselves. You know, you study Lot's life right away. There's lots of them, but I saw, Brother Eddie, I saw four things that shot right out to me right away about Lot. There's more than that, but I'm going to share four things tonight with you that I saw that came right to me. I want you to look at verse 8 there in our text verse there. Look what it says there. For that righteous man, that man that was a Christian, for that righteous man dwell among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. Notice that? Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know, by being around those people, seeing what they did, hearing what they said, the Bible says there in Peter that it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. I'm going to give you four quick things tonight. Well, I'm not going to give you quick things, but I'm going to give you four things. There's no such thing as quick with preacher. Number one, Lot was complacent. We got to be careful we don't become complacent. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says there, he got, in verse 8, it says that, by him seeing and hearing, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. In other words, Lot got so complacent, he got accustomed to sitting and listening and hearing evil all around him, and Lot was not moved by it. When we're around evil and sin, we ought to get offended. The Bible says we're to abhor evil. We're to shun evil. We're to delight in the Lord, not in the things of the world. And, you know, when you don't, we're going to turn to Genesis 19 in just a minute here. But when you turn to Genesis 19:1, you're going to see Lot, the Bible says, verse 1, 19:1, Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. He was just sitting like nothing was wrong. Everything's all right. You know, Lot was not bothered by the sinful surroundings. He became so complacent to sin that sin no longer affected him. You know, Lot should have been appalled at all the sin that was around him, but he just sat in the gate. He sat in the gate, not moved about sin at all. I'm making a point here. Sometimes our lives get like Lot. We hear bad music, and we don't turn it off. Matter of fact, sometimes you turn it up. We're around bad language, and when you're out with people, I can't stop people from what they say, but I don't have to listen to them. That's one thing. Years ago, I had a testimony when I worked at Allied Chemical. They called me the preacher. And they called, before I was even pastor, and they called me, here comes the preacher. I wouldn't listen to their filthy jokes. I didn't laugh at their smut. Here's a lot of things. You know, and believe it or not, Brother John, when those men years, I'm talking about 30-some years ago when I worked at back in the 80s there in Allied Chemical before I went full-time in the ministry. Tiffany Brooke, I want you to get a chair, and I want you to sit down. Yeah, don't get up no more. This is the second time Grandpa saw you. And so, no one gets past me. Amen. I'm on watch. But when I was there, I would not let people, they could say smut, but I would walk away from them. I wouldn't listen to their jokes. I wouldn't laugh at their jokes. And by the way, after a while, if you'll say, I'm not going to listen to it, I'm not going to laugh at it, they'll quit telling them around you. A lot of them didn't cuss around me. Not all of them, but a lot of them would not swear in front of me. If they hear you swearing, they're going to swear. But if you know, they say, well, you know, I don't hear that guy swear no more. And I used to swear constantly. I had a major overhaul. God did a major overhaul in me. By the way, he's supposed to do in all of us when we're saved. And, but you know, I got thinking, we're a lot like, Lot. Every day, after day, after day, and after a while, he just came complacent. Nothing bothered him. The evil around him didn't bother. The evil talking, the evil actions, nothing bothered. He became complacent. And I think many times Christians, even though you're not doing it, you sit right in the midst of all of it, and we become complacent. It's almost like, well, preacher, I'm used to it now. You'll sit instead of turning the TV off or putting a different channel on. You'll just say, well, I'll wait. Maybe they won't cuss no more. Hello? Or maybe they won't show no more evil nakedness. And, you know, there it goes one more time now, and I'm going to turn it off. Hello? Where years ago it would go off. We just become too complacent. We become too complacent with the music. Before we would say, turn that music off. You don't want to go out with me in places. Because if I'm irritated enough, D, I'll yell right out. turn that stinking, filthy devil music off. I told you the story one time. We were in a mall. Boy, you guys, just, I've learned something. Josh, you're not married. You're single. If you ever get married, Josh, son, if you ever get married, when the girls go shopping, just find you like the McDonald's or a place, get a cup of coffee, let them do all the running. One day I ran with Rosie and Tammy. Man, I was running with all of them, you know. And man, all those crazy shops and all the, it's crazy, Cativer. And boy, I was in this little Debs, or I don't know what the name of, some girl's name. And man, that music was going crazy. And I just said, I can't take it no more. But you understand, I said just like that, Josh, that volume. After about the fifth store, I was going bonkers. No wonder they buy crazy clothing. They got you like you're from another planet with the music. And I lost it, Brother Cativer. And I finally said, shut that music off. I can't take it. And there was another guy, and I got so mad, I pointed at the guy and said, I'm kicking the devil out of here right now. And that, amen. Yes, sir. And that poor guy didn't know me from Adam. He said, oh, man. They turned it down. They did. I said, bless God, you get that music off here. Amen. Now, nowadays they would call, because before there was terrorism and stuff, and now they'd call a security guard and put me in prison probably. But if people would just complain, now you don't have to go like I did. When I was in Toledo, I used to buy a lot of stuff from Zondervan's, the Christian, so-called Christian bookstore. And everybody knew me in Toledo. I was a John the Baptist of Toledo. I was a lot younger. I've mellowed out now. You kids, you got the mellow preacher now. Before I was a rough and tough kid and pretty wild, but now I've, over the years, God's calmed me down. Aren't you glad? And I walked in, and they had this, I'm talking about Christian, so-called Christian, and I was getting a bunch of stuff. I knew I was going to be there for at least a half hour or more. And I grabbed that boy, and I said, you go back there where that music is. I said, I'm going to be here at least 30 minutes, and you put some godly music on. You get that filthy contemporary junk off here. Yes, sir, Pastor Skyver. Yes, sir, Pastor Skyver. Buddy, every time I walked in there from then on, Josh, that guy was making sure there was the right kind of, like, amazing, great. I mean, man, they just knew, buddy, I was a no-nonsense guy. Well, what happens is this. We say a few things once in a while, but then after a while, we say, what's the use? And we get complacent. You know, and Lot, he was sitting in the gate like there was nothing wrong. And I think a lot of times we go through life with our Christianity. And we get with groups of people in different places. And I think we get complacent like Lot did. There's sin all. Now, we can't stop the sin. I understand that. But we don't have to be a partaker of it. And so, number one, Lot became complacent. You know, 2 Corinthians 6:17 tells us to wherefore to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. You know, don't be part of it. You know, Brother Coolidge, years ago, the old time churches used to preach on separation. The old time Baptist churches used to really preach on separation. I mean, I'm not going to get you mad, but there was a whole lot more separation years ago than there is today. And but God says for us to come out from among it. And I think, he thinks he's holier than thou. No, I don't. I just believe we ought to try to be as close to God as we can. And don't become complacent. Number two, now he was a lot complacent, but I believe he was a compromiser. If you look at Genesis chapter 19, he was definitely a compromiser. Look at verses 2 through 8. Those angels come in there. the angels come in. And by the way, angels are always in a male gender. There are no girl angels. There are no female angels. Now, don't go home and rip your things down. I'm not trying to mess you up. But there are no male, there are no girl angels. They're all, angels are always in the male gender. Okay? And I'll prove it to you from this chapter 19, Eddie. Because those queers, Jack, those queers wanted those men. They didn't want the women. They wanted those male angels. Hello? Isn't that amazing? But if you look at that in Genesis 19, verses 2 through 8, you'll see that, pick up in verse 4, but before they lay down, look at verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto thee, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, fellas, come on. Come on, guys. Peace. Come on, peace. Let's have peace here. Say, I don't want to have any trouble. You know I'm one of you guys. Don't you see me sitting there all the time with you? Amen. Hello? Yep. Look what he says in verse 8. I will die for my children. Yep. I'm telling you right now. You heard of my kids, I kill you. Every time I read this, I know I'm going to forget it when I get to heaven, but I actually feel like Jack in his jaw when I get to heaven. Lot. But God will give me a new heart and a new mind, and I won't think about it. Brother Phil, he's actually said, take my daughters. You have to kill me to get my kids. Amen. Look what he said. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. I pray you bring them out unto you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Wow. That is very sick. You know, Lot was willing to compromise the things of God, even compromise his family, just to fit in, just to keep peace. Look at here, kids. I need to help you tonight. You're different. We're supposed to be different. And you're going to have sometimes, you're going to have friends that aren't saved, or even kids, but they want to be more worldly. And a lot of times, you're going to be tempted, I don't want them to think I'm so religious and so holier than thou, and I want to fit in. I want to have friends, preacher. And a lot of times, people will compromise. They'll compromise their convictions and their beliefs just to fit in with people. And you adults do the same thing. Well, I'll just keep my Bible hid so they know so they don't think I'm a Christian. How many know what I'm talking about? And Lot, he became complacent. He's a compromiser. You know, when Christians get out of the will of God, they will compromise their convictions. They'll compromise their conscience. They'll compromise their reputation. They'll compromise their beliefs. Listen, when Lot compromised everything he that was worth anything to him, he compromised them just to fit in with those wicked people. You don't want to be with wicked people. I mean, hit alcohol for a while. Austin, someday you're going to be with kids, maybe. Hopefully not. Jordan. And they might say, let's have some beer. I remember Jack Hiles talking about a story. He was tempted one time to have alcohol, but his mama was home praying for him. And he almost did, but at the last moment, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, well, I need to do it so I would fit in with them. No, you did. No, you lead the way and say, no, that's not of God. I'm not going to take it. Amen. Where is Austin Skyver? Oh, okay, Austin. I got thinking about Austin. I said, where's your buddy? It's all you guys are always together. I thought he ducked out on the old man. He's back there in the sounds. Okay. See, I keep an eye. You think I don't know, but I know where all my kids are at. Preacher loves them. I might yell at them, but that's because I love them. Listen, when Abraham told Lot to choose, I want you, turn to Genesis 19. Are you in Genesis 19? Look at Genesis 13. Andy, when Abraham told Lot to choose, he started to compromise right then. Look at Genesis 13:9. I'll show you something. Genesis 13:9. And by the way, once you start compromising, once you start giving in, once you like let them get an edge, you ever get that saying, you give an inch, they'll give a mile? You compromise an inch, you'll end up giving a mile. Look at 13, verse 9. How many got chapter 13? Abraham said to Lot, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, if thou wilt take the left hand, and then I will go on the right hand, or depart on the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot, look at verse 10. He lifted up his eyes, and boy, when you lift them up, you're in trouble. And behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered with everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. I'm going to tell you, when he chose to go to Sodom, he already compromised. Before he got there, he knew it was wrong. See, a lot of times, before we do something, we know it's wrong. Hello? How many are still with me? You know, and I noted this, a question for every one of us. How far will a man go to get what he wants? He wanted riches and fame. How far will a man go or a woman go to get what they want? How much will a person be willing to compromise their life to try to achieve and to get something or someone? Some of you kids, I don't care what I got to do to get that person. I'll do it just so I can have that person. By the way, after you do it, you lose that person. By the way, did you know Abraham compromised when he took Lot? Hold your hand right there. And don't lose Genesis 13. But look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. I'm coming back to 13, though. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, because he talked to him back in Genesis 11, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. He wasn't supposed to take, outside of his wife, Sarah, he wasn't supposed to take anybody else. But he took his nephew Lot. He was in complete disobedience to God. He compromised. I want you to see something. Compromising, say this with me. Compromising, say it with me. Will cost me the blessings of God. And compromising will take me farther and longer and cost me more than I want to pay. I want you to turn to Genesis 12:1. He says, but he took him anyways. He compromised. Oh, that's all right. I'm going to take him. God will understand. No, God tells us things. We need to say, God said no, that's it, no compromise. Look at Genesis 13 again. Look at verse 14 and 15. Now remember, Lot leaves in verse 11. Are you still with me, church? I'm going to give you a teaching here. Listen to me now. I want to give you a truth here. And he leaves in verse 11, by the way, look at 13. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And Lot knew it. He compromised. I don't care. I'm still going there. I know they're wicked. I don't care. I'm still going to go there. That's where I want to be. When you compromise, just remember you're going to pay a price. But watch. Watch. Lot leaves Abraham. Look at verse 14, Mark. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him. How many see that? God made the point to make us know, hey, I'm going to bless them now, but I held back the blessings till he got right. Because he specifically says, Ruthie, after Lot left, because Lot was not supposed to be there, Brother Leo. 12:1 says, get out and don't take nobody with you. How many see this? So you can get restored blessings if you'll do right. But in compromising, and Bobby, he says, I'll make thy seed, verse 16, as the dust of the earth. And boy, he just kept blessing them. But he didn't do that until Lot left. How many see that? And so compromising will keep you from getting blessings from the Lord. And it'll make you pay and go farther than you want to go. So number one, Lot was complacent with sin. Number two, Lot became a compromiser of sin. Number three, Lot had no consistency of his Christian walk with God. He had no consistency of walking with God. How do I know this? Look at Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And look at verses 12 through 14. Genesis 19, 12 through 14. Now look up here. Let me explain this to you. You all know the story. Billy, those angels told Lot, hey, we got to get out of here. You got any family? Because I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to destroy this place. If you want to, you and your family better get out of here. We're going to destroy it. So look, pick up at verse 12. Huh. And the men, those angels, are you in verse 12? How many got 12, 19? 19, 12 of Genesis. And the men said unto Lot, has thou here any besides? In other words, you got any family? Son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. He said, man, if you got family, you better get them out of here. We're going to tear this place apart. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. I want you to look at verse 14. Now it's finally got into Lot's heart, Brother Josh. Man, I got to get my family saved. My family's going to die without Christ. I got to get them out of here. I got to go witness to my family. And Lot went out, spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And I guarantee he had grandkids. If you got son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, you got grandchildren. Are you with me? Can anyone say amen? And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Boy, this is one of the verses that really shake me. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. In other words, they laughed at him. They said, come on, don't put on this religious act now. Don't be trying to tell me about Jesus now. Don't be telling me how God's, you never taught, forget you. I don't believe anything. You've never showed me that you knew Christ before. He had no testimony. He didn't have a consistent walk at all with God. Matter of fact, it was inconsistent. How many are still with me? When Lot tried to warn his family of destruction, they mocked him. They laughed at him. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The question is here. I've got a question for every one of us. Do people see a consistent life that we live for Christ? Because, Brother Eddie, I believe if he would have lived a consistent life for Christ, they'd have said, sure, Dad. Man, you've always told us about the Lord. We've seen it. We'll do what you say. They didn't take heed to his warning. Had he been warning them a long time before that, they might have. Had he been living and taking a stand for Christ, they might have. Now, here's the thing that maybe it doesn't bother you. I've always been real close to my children. I'm real close to my grandbabies. Matter of fact, when I must I say I talk about my children, I'm talking more than David and Tammy. I'm talking about all my babies. I mean, I love my family. You start talking about me losing my family, you must just take a knife and cut my heart out. See, he didn't witness to his family, he was not a good father. And those children and his daughter and his grandchildren and his sons-in-law died. And I believe they went to hell. They weren't saved. And the only day he got to witness to him, it finally got to him. Man, I got to get these people saved. I got to get them out of here. They laughed at him. Get out of here. You're as wicked as we are. I don't believe a word you're telling me. I'm going to tell you right now. By the way, when you read down farther, it was verse 17 somewhere in there, it says, and while he lingered. The reason he lingered was because he knew his family was going to die. And it was his fault. While he lingered. Here's the thing. Our children and our grandchildren should see a consistent life for Christ. Now, none of us are perfect. And I don't think we have to be explosive for Christ. Just be steady like that little rabbit in the race. Remember the little rabbit just kept right on going? Just be consistent. No, it was a turtle, the hare and the tortoise, right? The rabbit was running down the road, but then he stopped. If I remember the story right, it's been long. But the little turtle just kept going, right? I'd rather see Christians just be like the little turtle. Just be consistent. Just keep right on going, though. Trouble is, what they see, Brother Kotiver, our families, they see us on fire for God one day. The next day, they see us out drinking alcohol. They see us praying for them one day. Next day, they see us out cussing them. They see us up and down, and no consistency, and they say, man, if that's supposed to be real, forget it. And because he was complacent, because he was a compromiser, and because he did not have a consistent life for Christ, his family died. Do you want your family to die? I think we better get some consistency for us. Amen? And then let me say this last one. Lot was complacent. Lot was a compromiser. Lot was not consistent with his life for Christ. Not lastly, number four, Lot was lacking compassion. Lot was lacking compassion. You know, Lot really didn't care enough about his family and the others to share the things of God with them. He didn't witness to anybody. Lot never witnessed to his family. Lot never witnessed to the people of Sodom. And I know he didn't. I'll tell you why. Are you still there? How many got Genesis 18? Look at Genesis 18, verse, is it 30? I wrote down here. 32. Remember Abraham was begging God not to kill, not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He said 50, 40, 30, and he got down to 10 people. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I mean, Genesis 18, 32. I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. That means if there would have just been 10 people saved, 10 people saved in Sodom and Gomorrah, if there would have been just 10 people saved, which we know from the reading of 2 Peter, Lot was saved. So all we, 1, 10, that's right, 9 people. Josh, if he would just won his family and his son-in-laws, he might have, I don't say how many he had, but it did put it in the plural, sons-in-law, so he had more than one. And they had to have a daughter to be married to. I mean, if he would have just won his family, he might have, and his grandchildren, he might have had 9. I mean, all Lot had to do was win his family, and he would have stopped the judgment of God. The little book of Jude says this in verse 22. And some, having compassion, making a difference. Lot did not make a difference for his family. Lot did not make a difference for his city that he lived in. And the reason he didn't, Brother Phil, is because he didn't have compassion. When you don't care about people dying and going to hell, you don't have compassion. I'll say that again. If you don't care about people dying and going to hell, you don't have compassion. No, if you can go to work and not be bothered that guy working with you is going to die and go to hell, you don't have compassion. If you can live next door to somebody or have a family member and you don't care one way or another if they die and go to hell, you don't have compassion. Because, Josh, if Lot would have had compassion, he would have made a difference. And because he was negligent, because he didn't have compassion, his family and that whole city was damned and went to hell. More than the fiery brimstone of tearing the city up. By the way, people died all over that day, but after they died, they went to hell. It's more than the brimstone and the fire that came from heaven that destroyed the earth. It was their eternal souls afterwards. Lot's in heaven right now. He's got grandchildren and daughters and sons-in-law in hell burning right now. He does. You live with that for a while. I noted they were destroyed because Lot's lack of compassion. All he had to do was reach 9 people. 9. And he would have halted and stayed back the judgment of Almighty God. Just 9 people. Maybe 3 weeks ago. Maybe it's been a month. Time goes by so fast. And I'm thinking it was around 3 weeks ago. I was waking up about every day at 5:30. One day I was thinking on the scripture, and I just started crying. I couldn't quit crying. And I kept thinking about Lester. I kept thinking about this scripture. About, boy, if we could, Phil, if we could just get enough people saved, we could stop the judgment of God on America. Listen, I'm hoping we can win enough people because I want them not to go to hell. But also, I'd sure like to hold back the judgment before the rapture. Hello? And the only thing that's going to hold back judgment on America from God is us going and winning souls to Christ. And I got thinking about little Bailey Ray and Tippy Brook, my Snooky Snooky Snook, and Austin McGost, and Natalie Rose, and I just got thinking of all my kids. David, my booger. No, that's not fair. But I got thinking about my kids, Shannon and Tammy and David and Rosie, and I got thinking about my family. And I just started to cry. I started thinking about you, my church. What's holding back, Ray, what's holding back the judgment on America? America's wicked. And I kept thinking about this scripture. If there's just 10 saved. And I got thinking about the millions of people that Dr. Hiles and Dr. Russell Anderson had effect on in First Baptist Church and soul winners all over America. And I got thinking, boy, we might just be here today because of those people soul winning. And I know Russell Anderson hasn't won all those millions of people, but he's given to help win those people, to make it possible. And about 7:30 that morning, I called Russell Anderson up and I just said, I've always loved you and I've always appreciated, and I was crying. I couldn't hold back the tears. I said, Russell, I've always looked at you afar and I've always admired you and I've always thought a lot about you. I've known Russell Anderson for a long time. He hasn't known me, but I've known about Russell. Anybody ever went to Hammond, Indiana, knew about Russell Anderson. I spent 30 years there. And I said, Dr. Anderson, he was walking that morning at 7:30 outside somewhere. And I said, I just want to tell you, I love you. And I want to thank you. I said, Russ, I've been reading the Bible this morning. Started at 5:30 this morning, I was reading my Bible. And I said, Russell, I got thinking about that scripture over there in Genesis where God said if you only had 10, he'd hold back the judgment. And I said, you know, Russ, we talk about all the millions that have been saved. And I said, you know, I believe with all my heart, my children are alive today. And my church is still here today because of you and other people like you that have cared enough to go out and win people to Christ. And Rosie knows because I'm a letter writer. And when I write long letters, Josh. And I sat down, I wrote him a letter that day, 3 or 4 pages. And I quote scripture. I said, Russell, I said, James 5:20 says, he that converted a soul will save a soul from hell and hide a multitude of sins. And I said, Brother Russell, can you imagine, I wrote this in the letter, I said, can you imagine, as wicked as America is today, had we not had those millions of people saved, how much more wicked it would have been? And then I kept thinking, boy, the judgment of God, if those people wouldn't have been, I said, now that, the judgment of, that doesn't make sense why God hasn't destroyed America yet. And I saw my babies, and I could picture them being destroyed. And I said, and I told Russell, I said, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart because you've devoted your whole life. And by the way, he's a soul winner himself. Dr. Anderson, he soul wins himself too. I said, you've given all your energies, your talents, your money, everything you have, you've given for the cause of Christ so millions of people could be saved. You ought to, when that man comes, you ought to thank God for that man and men like him. And I said, I just want to tell you, thank you for holding back the judgment of God on my family. And I said, every person in my home and every person in my church and every person that lives in America owes you a gratitude of thanks. Because I believe because of soul winning and winning people to Christ, it's held back the judgment of God. You want to hold back the judgment of God? Then be out here next Saturday, 11 o'clock with me and Phil. Knock on some doors. Let's go soul winning. Let's hold back the judgment of God. More than that, that's a motivator, but the real thing is eternal. Lot was a man that had no compassion. And he led his family, and he led his people where he lived down. You and I better start getting some compassion. Because we've got family and we've got friends. You listen to me. We've got family and we got friends. And if we don't have compassion to reach them, they're not going to be reached and they're going to end up in the devil's hell. We ought to beg God, oh God, break my heart for souls. God, break my heart for souls. God, make me care about people going to hell. You ought to keep tracks on you all the time. I just got this suit out of the dry cleaners. And the first thing I did, I put tracks in it. You girls ought to keep them in your purses. I keep them in my cars. I keep them in the vans. I keep them everywhere. I keep all kinds of them, Brother Billy. I keep the car one. I keep the biker one. I have about four or five different tracks because I'm going to become all things to all people that I might reach some. But I'll tell you where it starts and where it ends. And I'm all done. Compassion. And some having compassion, making a difference. He could have made a difference in his family's life, but he didn't. Can I ask you something? Whose life are you making a difference in? Whose life are you making? They're going to go to the jail ministry Tuesday. You ought to go with compassion. Don't worry about trying to entertain them. Just go with compassion. Make a difference for those kids' lives. Some having compassion, making a difference. Bethel Baptist Church, let's have compassion. Let's make a difference. Lot didn't have compassion. And he let those people be destroyed, even his own family. Some of you need to go talk to your family this week. Some of you need to pray for your family. Some of you need to pray for your friends. And then you need to go witness to them and say, listen, I care about you. I don't want you to be destroyed. I want you to go to heaven when you die. They perished. His own children. His own children in hell. If my babies were in hell, I couldn't live with that. Am I making any sense to anybody tonight? Amen. Lot became complacent. Lot was a compromiser. Lot didn't have a consistent life. And Lot had no compassion for the lost souls of man, not even his family. Let's be careful that we don't become a Lot. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Lord, I pray with all my heart that we would not be complacent, that we would not let sin just be an everyday thing, that we would not get accustomed to living in sin. Pray that we won't be compromisers, give in to the things that we know is to be true and don't know what's to be right. Lord, that we wouldn't live an inconsistent life. Pray our life will be consistent for you, that people would always see Christ in us. And I pray most of all that we would have compassion. Oh God, help us to have compassion. And God, help that compassion make a difference for someone. Thank you for those down through the years that had compassion that made a difference. Someone cared about me. Help me to care about someone else. And dear God, I pray that we can have enough compassion that we can make a difference for people. Especially our families. Work in our lives. Help us not to be a Lot. Oh God, help us never to fall in those down pits and failures of Lot. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before we go home tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I've been kind of like Lot. I've been getting complacent. Maybe I've compromised some things in my life to try to please people. My life's not been consistent. And and I really need that compassion. Would you pray for me? Yes. 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 God bless. Yes. 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 God bless you. Yes. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Help us not to be like Lot. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. I don't know. Maybe you don't know if you die, if you go to heaven or not. You'd sure like to know. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand, put it back down. I don't know if I die, if I go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. By the way, young lady, got saved today. That young lady, Katie, led her to Christ. 17 years old. Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help me not to become a Lot. Help me not to fall in those downfalls of things that Lot fell into, Father. I pray for my church that they would also not fall in those things. God, help us not to be complacent. Help us not to be compromisers. Help us, Father, to be consistent, and help us to have compassion. Oh God, help us to have compassion to make a difference for somebody's life. Lord, if we could just make this week, if we could have compassion for one person, if we could make a difference for one person this week, if we could make a difference for just one person this week, I wonder why our heads are bowed. And before I pray, you'd say, preacher, I want you to pray that God would make me have compassion, that I could make a difference for at least one person this week. Pray for that. Who'd say that? Yes, yes, yes. Preacher, pray for me that I can have that I can make a difference for at least one person this week. And you go and you pray to God tonight, and you pray tonight at church, God, give me that compassion for at least one person. Help me to make a difference for one person. Help me to make a difference. Help me make a difference for one person this week. God, move me with compassion that I can make a difference for one person this week. Father, I pray with all my heart that this week we'll be moved at Bethel Baptist Church with compassion, and that we would make a difference for at least one person. Help us, Father, to have enough compassion for at least one person to make a difference this week for one person. Help us to make that difference for a person this week. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse. What page am I, Mark? Page 70.